Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
This is episode 355. In the news this week, not a whole lot going on. I did want to mention Brother Chris Hodapp went ahead and he put up this really cool post that's got a really interesting trailer for a new show called Lodge 49. It seems pretty interesting, a little bit silly, but at the same time, I found it to be pretty cool. So looking forward to that. In other news, I did want to mention that I got an email from a brother who let me know that our donor wall wasn't up to date. Now, I have to apologize. I was under the impression that my programming was working and that if you had become a producer of the program, your name would go up on the wall. It was not working. So I updated that this week, and huge thanks goes out to everybody up there on our producers wall. If you go to WCYpodcast.com, you can see the producers. There's a big thank you there and a bunch of names on. I do have to mention that there are some instances where producers of the program have funded us month after month and then taken a sabbatical or have suspended the donations or have had to halt donations indefinitely. And what I have to say about that is that the names on our board do not indicate everybody who is actively donating. If you are a producer of the program, that your name goes up there forever as a thank you. And I just wanted to let everybody know that we're never going to take down a name because you had to stop contributing to the program or anything. We wouldn't be here without you, and because of that, your name will always be up on the website. Unless you tell me you don't want it there, then of course I will honor your wish and take it down. Perhaps we can put up your initials or something, which you'll see on the website as well. So thanks again to all those people. I'm about to leave town like tomorrow morning, so this episode is going to be hopefully short and sweet, and I do apologize, kind of an impromptu family vacation. We're going to disconnect a little bit. Let's see if I can disconnect a little bit, usually attached to social media on my hip everywhere I go. So the first piece that I wanted to read for you was just something short that I wrote back in 2012. It was called The Brothers That Failed. And it was a short piece that I wrote about men who were brothers and have possibly failed us in the worst possible way. So here we go, The Brothers That Failed by Robert Johnson. History, as we know, is littered with famous Freemasons. In fact, our originator, Brother Toddy Creason, at the Midnight Freemasons, has a great book series which showcases some of the best. In one of his recent posts to the Midnight Freemasons, he talks a bit about the Civil War and how a brother had actually started it. It was a great piece. It was interesting to read about James Buchanan and how he wasn't the greatest Freemason or president, which is why Brother Todd decided to not cover him. It also prompted me to reflect on the few brothers that I don't choose to showcase in the famous Freemason segment of the WCY podcast. I don't consider them because I don't feel that they're true to Masonry. You remember when you were asked, where were you first prepared to become a Mason? These men to which I'm referring to, I just don't know about. They include names like Wozniak, Wilkes, Richards, Arnold, and Weems. The list goes on. I love Apple as a company, and I love Steve Wozniak for his contributions, but I've never chosen to use him as a famous Freemason in the WCY podcast in our early episodes because he was quoted as saying that he only joined the Freemasons so that he could sit within the Eastern Star with his wife, and that he didn't take anything seriously in regards to the Freemasonic ritual. Another name, Bobby Wilkes, was found guilty in defrauding families and defiling the dead when he buried them with trash in their coffins. Michael Richards went off the deep end in a comedy routine which cost him his career. Benedict Arnold, who was a brilliant military strategist, defected, thus ignoring his oath to the country. Then we have Mason Locke Weems, who falsified stories and lied about his relationship with George Washington in order to sell his biography of George Washington shortly after his death. Luckily for us, the list of great Freemasons overshadows those of our not-so-greats. An interesting point to make here is that when I do the famous Freemason segment on the show, I look for famous people that almost everyone has heard of, but it's hard because almost every Freemason I know today is famous in their own right, meaning they work hard, many people know of them, and they are extremely intelligent, outspoken, and truly wonderful human beings. What makes someone famous? A notable event, that they helped in, or perhaps they were instrumental in something being accomplished. Regardless of these facts, I think we all know a few famous Freemasons. Conversely, we may know some brothers that have failed. Let us hope for the future that we have more bright shining stars than black holes. Let us remember the brothers that failed. Their mistakes have made the right path more visible. Alright, I hope you liked that piece. I did want to take just a moment here in the middle of the show to remind everybody, please consider going to WCYpodcast.com and hovering over more, checking out some of the ways you can help this show out. Listener-supported education. I got word just recently that I'm really excited about. Masonic Revival has, again, agreed to do our lapel pins, and they are going to be fantastic. Brother Jason Richards did a new design for us. It's a little bit more contemporary. You can check the design out if you head on over to WCYpodcast.com and click on the limited edition store. Maybe you'll see the cool new design, and keep checking back because we're going to end up having a pre-sale to get that before anybody else. We've got the pins coming very soon, probably within the next 6 weeks or so. And in the meantime, if you're looking for something really cool, a contemporary, nice Masonic item, whether that's just about the best apron case you've ever had, or a keychain, or a neat necklace, or a shirt, or, let's face it, some really amazing neckwear, Masonic Revival has you covered. Brother Edgar Alejandro works with the textile industries all over the world and travels there to make sure these products are top of the line, perfectly made, and his customer service is awesome. So if you guys have some time and you're looking to get something neat, a little something snazzy, Masonic, you know, where you've got maybe a tie and a pocket square to match, or a nice bow tie, check out MasonicRevival.com. And of course, anytime he's got anything new that comes out, we showcase it on Instagram. I'll usually take pictures of it and put it out there so that it keeps you guys in the loop. Really cool stuff. Check it out. The next piece for this week is called Time. It's a short talk bulletin, volume number 6, from January of 1928, number 1, by Unknown. From Chapter 27 of Foreign Countries by Brother Carl H. Claudia, a delightful and inspiring study of Masonic symbolism, written for and published by the Masonic Services Association of the United States. One of the hidden or covered symbols in Freemasonry is found in the many references to time. The Editor Apprentice is given a 24-inch gauge as his working tool, and with it taught to divide his time. The entered apprentice must wait a certain time before taking his fellowcraft degree. The fellowcraft is reminded of the time required for creation and the function of geometry as to time is emphasized. Quote, by it also the astronomer is enabled to make his observations and fix the durations of times and seasons, years and cycles. End quote. He is also made to realize that there are three principal causes which contribute to destruction. The hand of ignorance, the devastations of war, and the lapse of time. The fellowcraft must wait a period of time before he may receive his Master Mason degree. As a Master Mason, he is reminded of the passage of time in the reading from Ecclesiastes. Emphasis is put upon the journey from, quote-unquote, the days of thy youth, to that hour when, quote, shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it, end quote. In the prayer use, in the sublime degree, we hear, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months is with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish his day. Master Masons are taught from the scriptures of the length of time required to construct the Temple of Solomon. The three steps on the Master's carpet are of youth, manhood, and old age, of which, as we have seen, the three degrees as a whole are symbols. The hourglass is an instrument used for the measurement of time, is one of the symbols discussed in the lectures of the sublime degree. The scythe is an emblem of time which cuts the brittle thread of life and launches us into eternity. Behold what havoc the scythe of time makes among the human race. If by chance we should escape the numerous evils incident to childhood and youth, and with health and vigor arrive at the years of manhood, yet withal, we must soon be cut down by the all-devouring scythe of time and be gathered into the land where our fathers have gone before us. There are many more references to time, high 12 and low 12, the calling from labor to refreshment, the return to labor in due season, and the hourglass will occur to all. with the exception of the small paragraph quoted above, however explanatory of the scythe as an emblem of time, there is neither monitorial nor secret explanation of time as a symbol. Yet surely it is used as such, when so many references are made to it, nor can we be content with the thought that, as time is so important to all of us, it could not entirely be left out of the making of the degrees of the order. What is time? No man knoweth. The very philosophers who explain it confess the inadequacy of their explanations. We know of a past, possesses a present, and hope for a future. If the past is dead and gone, it yet influences our present. If the future is only hope, it is yet the treasure box of all our lives, for which we strive endlessly. The only part of time we have, the immediate now, is always the least important of all. Objects have length, breadth, thickness. They also have a duration. The instantaneous cube cannot exist. We can have no conception of anything material or spiritual which does not have some length of time of existence. Some mathematicians speak of time as a fourth dimension of matter, and Einstein's theories, but the general and the special are concerned with something which is neither space nor time, but a blend or a combination of both. The only measurement of time we know is finite. The revolution of the earth about its axis and about the sun or any other heavenly body movement is our only means of measurement of duration. We can expand it into light years or contract it with split second watches, but all our measurement is founded upon a purely finite material happening. Infinite time is a phase, not a concept. The human mind cannot conceive of endless time. We say, quote-unquote, as it was in the beginning and ever shall be, but the words contradict themselves, for anything which ever shall be must always have been and therefore could not have had a beginning. Whether we think of time or a piece of a string, we cannot conceive it as having only one end. We conceive ourselves as moving along time from birth to death over a path which we divide into milestones of years, days, hours, and minutes, all multiples of divisors of that which elapses between the sun and the sun. Yet the human mind reels at the thought of travel forward which does not have something behind or which does not approach something. If there was no beginning to leave behind, if there is no end toward which we go, are we really traveling through time, or is time a vast wheel, merely sweeping around and around us? Men fool themselves. In all ages and times past, men have told themselves fairy tales and believed them. Our remote ancestors watched the fall of a rock and believed it the anger of the stone. They heard in the growl of thunder the rage of some mighty hidden being. They saw in the lightning flash which killed the righteous wrath of a power unguessed. But a few hundred years ago, an eclipse of the sun was a portent of evil, a comet in the sky a sure sign of pestilence. The earth was flat, and mariners need beware lest they fall off the edge. What we do not understand, we ascribe to the supernatural. In spite of the experience of science and the teachings of history, a savage mind finds a telephone a miracle. It behooves us to think carefully and make up our minds slowly. Every day we find the knowledge of yesterday was not knowledge but fiction. Our atoms are no longer atomic. Our matter is no longer matter. Our space is no longer of three dimensions. Our astronomy is as different today from what it was 20 years ago as that was from Copernicus's day. We no longer lay on hands or prescribe the leech and bloodletting for disease. We no longer withhold water from the fevered or air from the pneumonia patient. Disease is no longer a visitation from on high but a matter of germs from earth. The pestilence, which was once the work of Satan, is now located in a drain pipe or a swamp. We have certain concepts today which we believe to be absolute facts, despite that fact that we demonstrate there is no absolute. Only a short while ago, the philosopher's stone, the elixir of life and the perpetual motion were demonstrated impossibilities. Now our scientists talk rationally of the possibilities of transmutations of metals. Our surgeons talk of renewed youth through transferred glands, and for all we know, to the contrary, some man may arise with a new theory of energy, a la Einstein, of space and time, in which the self-mover may actually function. It does not do to be too certain of anything. The open mind is the only one into which new thoughts may come. There is no absolute. The facts of today is the fiction of yesterday. The romance of tomorrow becomes the experiences of today, when tomorrow comes. Time is the most familiar fact of our lives. Every man carries a watch. We get up, eat, work, make love, marry, have children, join Masonic lodges, die, and bury our dead, according to a schedule of time. Yet, this very familiar fact, this thing, which is as much part of our lives as our bodies. This commonplace, everyday, utterly usual matter is the most mysterious, most unknown, most completely unsolvable, finite mystery about us. Is time, then, in a Freemason's lodge, not a symbol of deity? We believe that the great architect of the universe is a part of our daily lives. We thank God for labor. We praise God for love. We marry under the blessing of deity, christen our children with his word, join Masonic lodges erected to God, die in the hope of his immortality, and bury our dead with a sprig of acacia, its symbol. And yet, this familiar fact, this idea, which is as much part of our daily lives as our souls, is our most mysterious, most unknown, and most completely unsolvable infinite mystery. Time, puzzle never solved of man's mind. God's puzzle never solved of man's soul. The conclusion seems inescapable that the many references to time in Freemasonry, this insistence upon time as a factor in the degrees and in what they teach of life, was no fortuitous circumstance, no mere unwitting bringing of the life of every day into the ritual of our degrees, but a great symbol of deity and our complete dependence upon him, a symbol teaching that our lives are inextricably mingled with God, a hope, a faith, but a concept never to be understood in this world. So mote it be. Well, I hope you liked that last piece. You know, the idea of time and the idea of the things that we romanticized about tomorrow become the facts of today. The idea that a Star Trek communicator became the first flip phone. It's really interesting the way we see everything evolve. As I read recently George W. Plumer's The Master's Word yet again, I'm reminded of something he said, and it's a quote from the book, but it's not his quote. He says something along the lines of the believer is the fool, because when you become a static believer in any one thing, you're demonstrating your inability to accept the inevitable changes in both understanding and reality. And so while it may be harsh to say a fool, but I think there's merit to that. I think from that lesson, from that quote, from this paper, one of the things that we can take away is that we should be, as Bruce Lee said, be like water. Be easily adaptable. When facts present themselves and they are demonstrated for you, then we need to accept those things. And it's a really powerful concept. Anyway, but I gotta get out of here. I just can't wait to hear, are we there yet? 5 million times. Until next week, guys. Stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.